An aerial view of a woman in a red coat riding her bicycle down a country lane on a grey, misty day. Rachel Fielding, Philip York, Rachel Shenton. Introducing Maisie Sly. Now from the ground, looking up at the passing bare trees, silhouetted against the leaden sky. Written by Rachel Shenton, directed by Chris Overton. The Silent Child. In a family kitchen, a woman takes a coffee pot off the cast iron stove.
What time's cello tonight?
6.
Oh, God, you'll have to run in, Paul. Pip has ballet at 5:30. I can't split myself in two.
Yeah, OK, chill, that's fine.
Sounds so weird and old people say chill.
Charming.
What time's the help arriving?
Joanne is arriving at... Yep, it's time to go. Grab your bags, please. Oh, God, she's early. Paul, can you go to the door and take the baby with you?
I'm leaving now. I'm already late.
Hey, I was just about to knock. I'm Joanne.
Yes. Suzanne, she'll be down in a minute. Oh, thanks for helping us out. We have quite low expectations. We just want her to be a little bit more confident in time for school.
Right.
Anyway.
Later, Joanne's with Mum, Suzanne.
She has a hearing aid, but she won't wear it.
And I'm assuming there's no history of deafness on yours or your husband's side?
No. We only found out she was deaf when she was 3 and a half, which probably makes me a bloody awful mother, but because she had a bit of hearing in her left ear that was overcompensating, apparently that's common.
You're not an awful mother, it's very common. And you said she didn't qualify for a cochlear implant?
No, which was a real blow.
And what's her communication like? Does she know any sign language or is it just lip reading?
Just lip reading.
And her speech?
Not good.
Right, well, I'll probably start with a combination of speech and sign language just to see where she's at. A lot of children respond really well to sign because it's less frustrating.
I can't see that being the case. Libby follows what we're saying really well.
Right, well, I'm sure she'll be fine then.
Stop, you idiot! I'm on the phone!
OK, so make yourself at home, sit down if you like. Libs! Is someone here to see you? Libby, can I have the remote, please? Libby. Libby, can I have the remote? She's usually happy when she's watching TV. She can be very difficult. I mean, sometimes we don't even know what's wrong with her.
Is there any pattern to that happening?
Oh, no. You know what they're like at this age. One of the two are the same.
Mum, my exam starts in 25 minutes.
Yes, I'm coming. Seb's got his GCSEs and he got A stars in his marks, so I better not make him late. Right, you got my mobile number? I'll be back in a few hours to see how you got on. You'd be brilliant. Bye, Libby, darling.
Suzanne leaves. Libby, a pale young girl of around 5 or 6, with light blonde hair and a ponytail, remains glued to the TV. The sizeable red brick country house sits under an overcast sky. Inside, Joanne, who's around 30 with long brown hair tied back in a French plait, makes her way into the living room where the TV's still on. She kneels in front of Libby and communicates with her in sign language. Joanne asks, "Can I play?" And when Libby just sighs, she says, "Let me show you something, you'll like it." Joanne squeezes a small toy. Libby smiles, then takes the toy. As the sun sets behind the trees, Suzanne arrives back with shopping, and Joanne taps Libby and signs, "Your mum's here."
"How's it been?"
"Yeah, good."
"I told you she was quiet."
"Yeah, does she ever interact?"
"Yeah, she follows what we say really well. Trust me, when Libby's unhappy, you know about it."
"Yeah, I think I'll just try with some more interactive stuff. I've got quite a few books I think would be useful. There is actually..."
"Hello?"
"A little bit..."
"Sorry." "Yeah, I've literally just walked in the door. Can I call you back in 5 minutes?"
"Okay, sorry."
Yeah, tomorrow." "I said, yeah. 8:30, yeah?" "Okay, don't worry. Bye." "Sorry, that was Paul's mum. She's a bloody nuisance."
"Oh, it's fine. I'll just bring some stuff to try with tomorrow. Does she like the park?"
"Well, I haven't taken her since she was tiny, but I'm sure she'd love it. Yeah, it's only 5 minutes away."
"Yeah, I saw it. Great."
"Yeah, thanks, Joanne."
"Okay, bye."
A new day, and a heavy mist shrouds the trees, casting them into eerie silhouette as Joanne pedals past on her bicycle. Libby's sitting at the breakfast table, watching with an air of detachment as her parents and older brother and sister smile and interact with each other. She looks at her father, who has brown eyes and greying hair, then her mother, who's blonde, with laughter lines around her eyes. Later, Seb dashes out of the house ahead of Paul, who sees Joanne arriving with her arms full of books.
You moving in?
Oh, for Libby.
She's inside with Sue. She's in a good mood. Libby, I mean. Sue's never in a good mood.
Hey!
Joanne carries the books through the house and notices Libby sitting on an upstairs landing.
Oh, hey, Libby.
Oh, sorry, the door was open.
Looks like you can have a busy day. I'm so sorry, I've got to shoot off again. I've got to take Paul's mum to the hospital.
Oh, no worries.
Bye, Libs. You be good. See you later.
Thank you.
Later, in Libby's bedroom, Joanne sits watching the girl with interest. Libby has her back to her, her head's tilted to one side, and her blue eyes are gazing off into the distance. On the sofa, Joanne points to line drawings of a monkey, a duck, and cartons of milk and orange juice. Each time, she looks to Libby for a reaction, but there isn't one. Joanne asks, "What's that?" then gives the sign for milk, which mimics milking a cow. Then she signs orange juice. Joanne asks, "So what's that?" But Libby just lowers her eyes. Joanne thinks, then says, "Want to go to the park and feed the ducks? You know, ducks." Then she points to the page and signs a duck's beak opening and closing. Ducks. Libby looks at her, then looks away.
Right. Let's pack it back. Where's your bag?
Libby signs orange, and Joanne looks pleasantly surprised. She asks, "You want orange juice?" And Libby nods.
Get you some orange juice then.
Joanne's front bicycle wheel, whirring over tarmac. Now they're at the park, feeding the ducks and geese on a lake. Libby throws in some breadcrumbs, and Joanne follows suit, then wipes her hands together. Then Joanne playfully chases Libby through the trees. Sitting on the stairs at home, Libby watches Joanne signing, "Thank you," then signs it herself, prompting a delighted Joanne to give her a high five. From the pair in a swimming pool together, to Joanne by herself, cycling through the countryside, then sitting on a bench and teaching Libby more signs. She trains Libby's hands to fingerspell her name, L-I-B-B, then Y. Now, under a tree on a sun-dappled hilltop, the pair are in silhouette as they practice sign language, and with Libby becoming more confident and fluent. In a cafe, Libby frowns in wonder at two women chatting in sign language. Joanne sitting with Libby on a bench in the garden. Libby signs, "Finished, I'm full." Joanne says, "You're full? You won't want any sweets then." "What sweets?" When Joanne presents some sweets from her pocket, Libby signs, "That's my favourite." Joanne signs, "Your favourite?" Then pops one in her mouth and says, "Mine too." Libby helps herself to a sweet. Then they both sit chewing, and Joanne playfully sticks out her tongue at Libby. They're unaware that Suzanne's standing at a window inside, watching them coldly.
"I just wondered how she'll get on with the sign language at school."
"How do you mean?"
"Well, I'm not sure that many people know it."
"Well, she'd need to have an interpreter sat with her and extra support. And, well, I'm not trying to talk myself into a job, but I'd be more than happy to help."
"Right, OK. I'm just wondering if we should be focusing more on the lip reading rather than the sign language."
"Well, as it stands at the moment, Libby's going to struggle with speech, so combination of sign language and lip reading will have the best results. Like, I know it can feel a bit alien, but the basics are actually really easy to learn. Might be a nice thing to do as a family."
I'm just not sure how doable that is at the moment. Pip has ballet and Seb rehearses with the Midland Choir 3 times a week, but we'll chat about it tomorrow. I'll talk to Paul.
Okay, great. Right.
Joanne gathers up her coat, bag and papers.
Thanks, sir.
Joanne's sitting in the dark, studying an optimal classroom arrangement on her laptop.
Seb, can you pass me the jam, please?
Here you go.
Oh, Sue, don't forget that letter, will you?
Did you ever find your leather jacket?
Yeah, it was in the office.
Orange.
She's signing.
Yeah, she's probably hungry. Can you pass me that butter, Sam?
I think it means orange juice. Joe taught me some stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, Joe's doing a good job.
You know, however many hairstyles you try, she's not going to go out with you.
Oh, talk of the devil.
Quick, someone give him some hair wax.
Morning.
Morning, Joe.
Hello, hello. Joe, what do you think of Seb's hair?
It's cool.
Seb hurries away, embarrassed.
Right, it's time to go.
What is it, Liz? What's she saying? Television? No,
I think she wants to look for treasure, so I'll sort that out.
Joe signs to Libby.
Thank you. Right, so I'm on the bloody hospital run again with Paul's mum today. I think I mentioned last night I'm going to be a bit late again tonight, more like 6.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll have lots of fun.
Bye, Libby.
When Libby flicks off her mother's goodbye kiss, Suzanne gives Joe a helpless shrug, then leaves. When Joe asks, "What are you drawing?" Libby replies, "You, me, holiday." And Joe says, "Holiday? Wow, I could do with a holiday. Is that me?" With a shy smile, Libby nods. Now Joe's doing the washing up at the kitchen window as Suzanne hurries back to the house.
I forgot my bloody purse.
As Suzanne breezes through the house, Joe notices the car passenger window winding down, then an elderly woman giving her a wave. She waves back. A few moments later, Joe comes out of the house and approaches the car. She smiles at the smartly dressed elderly woman in the passenger seat.
Hi,
I'm Joanne. I look after Livy.
Hello, darling. Is she being good for you?
Libby, yeah, she's great. She's so bright.
Is she? Do you think she'll be able to get a job one day?
Yeah, I think she'll be able to have a career in whatever she likes.
Oh, God bless her. Her granddad was deaf, you know, from birth. He had a job as a cleaner. I knew him.
Really? Libby's granddad?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, do you mean Paul's dad or Sue's dad?
Neither, darling. She's not Paul's, you know. I told him he should have left, but he never listened to his mother.
Oh, right, well, it was really nice to meet you.
You too, dear.
Returning, Suzanne eyes Joe a little suspiciously.
All right, then?
Yep, couldn't find it.
As the car drives away, Joe watches it go with a thoughtful expression on her face. Later, in the windy garden, Libby runs behind a tree. Then Joe approaches and with a snatching motion signs, "Found you." Libby signs, "Easy." And Joe says, "Oh, it was easy, that's why." Libby then signs, "I thinking." And Joe asks, "Thinking about what?" Libby replies, "My ears are broken." Then she runs off. Joe looks stricken by what Libby's just said. Now a phone call.
I know that she's regretting, but I'm worried. She's learning this language that I don't know and no one in her school will know. When you have a child, you want them to be normal. You want them to be perfect.
She is normal, Sue. She's just deaf.
Look, I know it's your area of expertise, but you must understand. I'm Libby's mother, and I know what's best for her.
Of course, you know best, and...
It's just the schools don't always understand deafness. And you have to fight for the support sometimes, but it is out there.
I know what I'm doing, Jo. You must understand. I've been a mother for a very long time. And I do appreciate your concern. And Paul and I will arrange to go in and see the head. I mean, do you think we'd send her to school without making sure everything was in place for her?
At home, Jo lies in her bed in the semi-darkness, unable to sleep. She stares upwards, thinking, her face half in shadow. Libby's also lying in bed awake and staring thoughtfully into space. Jo's bicycle light moves a little from side to side as she pedals along a lane flanked by hedgerows and with her handbag in her front basket. A car drives past a row of bare trees. Jo pulls over to answer her phone.
Oh, hello!
Hello, Joanne. You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm on the bike. Is everything okay?
It's just, sorry, this is a difficult thing to say, but, Paul and I have been talking and we think it's best that Lib stops the sign language.
Why?
We think that speech therapy is
a better route to take. I'm really sorry.
I don't understand. She was doing so well.
I know.
For school, it's really important that she carries on with sign language and gets extra support.
We've talked a lot about this, Jo, and we've actually been in to see the head and...
They had a little deaf boy a few years ago and he's absolutely fine. They know what they're doing.
Look, I'm nearly here now. Can I explain it to her? She'll wonder where I am.
In the back of the car, Libby's gazing out of the window as her mum drives her down a country road. Up ahead, an all-encompassing fog threatens to swallow the car up. Jo walks her bicycle briskly down the lane leading to the house. After passing through the wooden entrance gate, she stops and stares at the house.
Okay, class, open your books, write the date at the top, and we'll start the spelling test. Number one, there. Number two, here.
In school uniform, Libby sits in her class, staring into space while the others do the test. Approaching the school, Jo ditches her bicycle against the black iron railings, then carries on with her hands dug into the pockets of her burgundy coat. Turning a corner between the gated car park and a hedge, she stops at railings, on the other side of which is the playground. Gripping the bars, she looks through and sees Libby standing alone on the far side of the playground, leaning against the wall, while the other children all play around her. When Libby looks round and sees Jo, they hold each other's gaze for a long moment. Then Libby signs, with sadness, "I love you." Jo signs back, "I love you," and tears well in her eyes. As she continues to look at Libby, a wave of emotion comes over Jo, and she has to turn on her heel and walk away. Libby's blue eyes stare sorrowfully at the empty space left behind. An aerial view of Libby in her red raincoat, standing separate and still, as children tear back and forth around her. In captions, 90% of deaf children are born to hearing parents. Over 78% of deaf children attend mainstream school with no specialist support in place. Deafness is not a learning difficulty. With the right support, a deaf child can do exactly the same as a hearing child. We hope this film contributes, in the fight for sign language, to be recognised in every school across the globe.